In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, which is the unbelief chapter, which doesn't sound very encouraging, but we have seen here the unbelief of Jesus's townspeople in Nazareth, and then the unbelief of King Herod. That's where we left off the chapter. And as a result of his rejection in Nazareth and the opposition that was being stirred by the king, Jesus and his disciples retreat. They go north to Bethsaida, a little town on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. And if you read the commentaries, they call this part of Jesus' ministry his retirement ministry. It was like a sabbatical for him and his disciples. And he's still going to do miracles. He's still going to preach the gospel. But it's all in a more subdued manner. And it's all going to reach a climax in a place called Caesarea Philippi, which we're going to get to in chapter 8, where he asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confesses that he is the Messiah. And from then onward, there's a watershed moment in the gospel. The gospel splits in half. From chapter 8 onwards, Jesus is going to prepare his disciples for his death. Everything is going to move towards his death. So up till now, on the other side of the watershed, we've been looking at his great Galilean ministry. That's winding to a close. So this is his sabbatical with his disciples. You've got to feel sorry for them because they were so tired. So we'll read chapter 6, just a few verses, and we'll read verse 30 of Mark 6, verse 30. "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away.'" We'll stop there. So here are Jesus and his disciples sailing northwards on the Sea of Galilee to get to near Bethsaida, to a place where they think they're going to be left alone so that they can rest. But the crowd has got there before them, going on foot. And Jesus looks at the crowd. And the description we had in the reading is so vivid, isn't it? He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. We must imagine the scene here. They would have been wearing white cloaks or robes, and they would have looked like a flock of sheep, all scattered with no one to lead them. And all I want to talk about this morning is the reaction of Jesus Christ to these people, moved with compassion, moved with compassion. Just briefly, he was concerned for his disciples, for their physical, mental, emotional well-being. That's why he told them to come aside and rest. Somebody said, if you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart. So we do need to look after our bodies. But what I want to concentrate on this morning is something far more important, our souls. Jesus was tired, the Lord was hungry, but all of that faded into insignificance in comparison to his hunger for lost souls. And you know what? He's still hungry. He's hungry for lost sheep here this morning. Now, the word for compassion here is important. In the original, it speaks of something coming from the stomach. Isn't that interesting? Something that arises from the pit of the stomach. You have in the old translation sometimes the word bowels of mercies, which sounds odd, but it's actually a good word because it describes this feeling that comes from deep within. And maybe a better translation for compassion here is tender mercy going out from Jesus Christ to this crowd. How different to the religious leaders, you know? The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't have one grain of compassion. They knew their Old Testament scriptures. They were orthodox, but they didn't care for the souls of the people. Poor, poor people listening to their religious leaders. Nobody was good enough to go to heaven. Only the religious leaders. They stood on a pedestal, holier than thou, looking down upon the people, condemning them, trying to tell them, you're only going to get to heaven if you're good enough. Jesus isn't like that. Contrast him to the king, King Herod, who was supposed to look after the flock. King Herod, we came across him last Sunday, feasting with the great and the good. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was more concerned about the real people. He wasn't interested in hobnobbing with the top people in society. He wanted to help the poor and the needy. And what did the hymn say? We were going to start with it. Came with a helpless and hopeless to dwell. Isn't that lovely? Jesus moved with compassion. How did he see the people? As lost sheep. Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, do you know what he said? All we like sheep have gone astray. Have you seen sheep? I'm quite familiar with sheep, not just because my car has a number plate ending with the letters bar, but I often jog and walk the hills, and there are more sheep than people in Wales, and I've got to know sheep quite well. Do you know what's true of sheep? That's what Isaiah was getting at. They are so tup, as we say in Welsh. They're so stupid. If I'm jogging on a path and there are hedges on both sides and there's some sheep there who are obviously lost, instead of just moving to the side, which is the right thing to do, they don't think, you see, about that. They just keep on running ahead of you until they just lose all energy. How stupid. Why don't they just move to the side? And if you've got a flock of sheep in a nice green field with plenty of provision for them, one sheep looks to a field across a busy road and thinks that the grass is greener there, and he goes into a dangerous position crossing the road in order to get to that other field, even though it's not that better. And all the other sheep, what do they do? You would have thought they would have said, why is he doing that? He's stupid. But all the other sheep are following the blind leading the blind. Oh, my friends, isn't that an apt description of you and me? All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone going his own way. When it comes to the soul, the spirit part of us, when it comes to what's after death, when it comes to the big issues of life, how do I deal with my sin? I always fall into the same fault when it comes to these things. We are stupid, aren't we? We never learn. We've all got our own ideas, and yet we're lost. We're hoping to include in the new supplements these lines. Some of you may know them. Souls of men, why will you scatter like a crowd of frightened sheep? Foolish hearts, why will you wander from a love so true and deep? My friends, I want to talk this morning about this compassion of my Saviour to you and to me, lost sheep. That's why I read from John chapter 10. It's not mentioned in these verses in Mark 6, but it's implied. Jesus didn't just have compassion towards this crowd of people. He did something about it. That's what I want us to concentrate on. He is the good shepherd. Didn't he say in John 10, I am the good shepherd? And one of the things that the good shepherd does is go after the lost sheep. Herod in his palace wasn't interested. The religious leaders, with all of their debates about how many angels you could put on top of a needle, they weren't interested in the souls of these poor people. But Jesus Christ is. That's the Saviour I've got to present to us this morning. Have you ever met shepherds? I think I've met a few shepherds. The best shepherd I ever got to know was John Jones in Bala. Do you know, their faces are so wind swept that they're just mountain men, that they know what it is to suffer hardship for the sake of the sheep. And John, I don't know how a shepherd can do this. He would know the difference between each one of his sheep. All sheep look the same to me. But a good shepherd knows each one of his sheep. And Jesus Christ is just like that. He knows each one of us. And, you know, it was compassion that moved him to go after us lost sheep. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. It's going to be Advent Sunday soon. That's when the announcement was made to Mary about the birth of Jesus. What happened in Bethlehem? Nothing greater than this. The Son of God, God himself, leaving heaven, leaving the courts of heaven, and coming all the way down into this world. Do you know what moved him to do that? It was compassion for you and for me. Oh, the humiliation of leaving the purity of heaven, communion with his Father, and coming down to the sin and the filth of this world. We romanticize, don't we, the stable in Bethlehem, but it wasn't a nice place. It was a filthy, filthy place to be born in. And that's where the Son of God became a man, moved with love. And then where did he grow up? He didn't grow up in Jerusalem, in the palace where he should have been growing up. He grew up in a place called Nazareth, out in the sticks, a dump of a place, as we say. Think about that. Love moving him to grow up in such a place. And when he started his ministry, what did he have? Didn't have anything. You know, it's good we have a concern for homeless people. We need to have a greater concern. But Jesus Christ was homeless. Have you ever thought of that? He was homeless. He didn't dress in fine clothes. He didn't have a place to lay down his head. Love. And then what led him, as we've been singing through the hymns this morning, to that cross? Was it the nails, O Saviour? that held thee to the tree? The nails didn't hold him. If he wanted to, he could have come down from off that cross. Do you know what kept him on that cross? It was love for lost souls like you and me. This is what he said in John 10. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's what saves us. A substitute in Jesus Christ. We were talking out there about a man called David Jones, K.O. He lived in the 18th century, a Methodist preacher. He translated hymns from English into Welsh. Can I say this? It usually improves them. We've got one Welsh hymn that's been translated into English. And the English is better than the Welsh, which is quite something. It's John Elias's hymn, and it says this. Listen to this. This is brilliant. And was it for my sin? On the cross, Jesus, a substitute. He dying in my place. And was it for my sin that Jesus suffered so? How did he do it? When moved, compassion, by his all-powerful love, he came to earth below. I wish I could have known John Jones better, the shepherd. I wish I could have heard him say to me how he would be so concerned for his sheep that he knew if one was lost. The shepherd, the good shepherd, would have sleepless nights over a sheep that had got lost. He would wander the hills trying to find it, and if he found it, he would put himself in great danger in order to rescue it. Maybe he would have to abseil down to a ledge where a sheep had got stuck. That's how Jesus Christ describes himself. I am the good shepherd who doesn't just have this compassion towards us lost souls, but who did something and who put himself not just in danger, but who became sin for us. Amazing love. Amazing. I was reading in the newspaper about those Thai boys that were rescued from the cave. Remember that a few months ago? They were able to watch. I only remember that Everton was playing somebody. They were watching the match, I think, in the stadium. Do you remember how they were rescued? They couldn't get out of that cave. They were flooded. They were completely helpless. The divers came in. Many came from this country. They went all the way to those waterlogged caves. That was compassion for you. But think of the greater compassion of Jesus Christ leaving heaven and coming into this world. And then they went into a hell, as it were, to rescue those boys. Oh, Jesus Christ, he tasted hell itself in order to deliver us from our sin. And do you know how each boy was rescued? They were strapped onto a diver. So the boy didn't do anything. The diver did it all. And that's what happened on the cross. Jesus Christ did everything. Do you know what a Christian is? Not a person who's good enough, but a person who's joined to Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we will live. Because he's good enough, we're going to be accepted. Oh, are you joined to Jesus Christ by faith this morning? Melanchthon, who was a co-worker with Martin Luther. Luther was a man of thunder. Melanchthon was a sweet, sweet man. And Melanchthon said, of the good shepherd carrying the sheep upon his shoulder, this is what Melanchthon said. He places upon his shoulders the sheep he has found, that is, he transfers to himself the burden of us. Isn't that good? He transfers to himself the burden of your sin and mine. I will take it. He transfers to himself the burden of you and I. Oh, he carries us. Oh, I want to be moved with compassion here this morning. I have a measure of concern that if you're not joined to Jesus Christ, you're still lost. And one day you're going to have to die and stand before God as judge. And if he hasn't taken your sin, you're going to have to bear it upon yourself forever. I have a measure of compassion. I wish I had more. You know, I wish. Can I read something here? We had a funeral in this church a number of years ago to a deacon called Nick Fidian. And he had a concern for people. And even on his funeral, he wanted, in a way, to have the last word, that people who were lost would be saved. And he wrote a hymn. And I find this hymn so applicable to the verses we're considering this morning. If it's all right, I just want to read it out. He wrote this hymn when he knew that his cancer was terminal. And his concern were for those friends of his who were still not joined to Jesus Christ in faith. Oh, can I just read this out? Dear friends, I bid you fond farewell. Our parting time has come, as come it must to all. Each one must quit one day their earthly home. I trust that I can say, while here, I sought to care for you. Though care from man is poor and brief, imperfect through and through. But there is a different caring love which does not fail or die. The love of God in Christ for you. So deep, so broad and high. Do you worry that there's nobody to love you? Listen, the Good Shepherd loves you. This love was shown upon the cross where Jesus bled and died to bear the penalty for sin. By this we're justified. Beyond this life, the soul goes on into eternity, in heaven or hell, forevermore your afterlife shall be. Which end depends on what you do with Jesus Christ while here. His love requires you to respond, to spurn him or draw near. Dear friend, this is how he ends. Choose well, I plead with you. Choose now. Do not delay. Come to this Saviour for yourself. Embrace his love today. Will you do that? Come to Jesus. Say to him, Lord, I'm lost. I've tried getting myself saved and I can't do it. But I hear this morning that you've come to look for a lost soul like me. And you've died in the place of a sinner like me, and I want to trust in you. Will you do that? And for those of us who are Christians, may we be moved with this compassion. We've got a Savior to tell people. That's all this church is. Holding forth the word of life. And may we love people with the love of the Saviour. You know, there was a big man, mighty evangelist, called D.L. Moody in Chicago in the 19th century. And he had a Sunday school, and thousands of street kids went to that Sunday school. And they would pass other churches to go to it. And some people were critical of Moody for that. And they asked one boy, why do you pass so many good churches to go to Mr. Moody's Sunday school? And do you know what he said? Because they love the fella over there. They love you. They love you. May we show something of that love of Jesus Christ. And may every one of us know what it is to be joined to him by faith. No longer lost. I once was lost, but now have been found. Praise be to his name. Found. And what a life now. I am now safe in the arms of my shepherd. And you know what? He leads you through this wilderness of a world, as we'll see, God willing, next time. And he's going to lead us to our heavenly home. The best is yet to be. Can I finish with this anecdote? There was a Cornish miner called Billy Bray. And he didn't have much knowledge of things, but he knew his Bible. And he was ill. It was terminal. The doctor was called, and the doctor had to tell him the bad news that he didn't have long left. And you know what Billy Bray said? Hallelujah. That's not bad news. That's the best news I've heard. Because I'm going home. I'm going to be promoted. I'm going to see my Savior. And you know what he said to the doctor then? When I get there, shall I send him your compliments? Will you be there one day with me? Or may we all be joined together one day in heaven for his name's sake. Amen.